Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the San Francisco 49ers Extra Podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono.
When they hired Kyle, I was thrilled. I'm optimistic. I think we'll get there.
49ers Extra is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play, in the home of the 2020 PGA Championship. We'll talk to Steve about the 49ers' 41-39 loss to the Rams on Thursday, plus a conversation about the anthem protests in the NFL on Sunday. But first, I want to tell you about my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. Live in San Francisco and love to play golf? Visit TPC Harding Park and purchase your two-year resident card, giving you immediate savings on golf and other programs at the park. Cut your green fees in half by purchasing your card today. Visit www.tpc.com/Harding Park for more information. Well, Steve, what a departure from week two to week three for the San Francisco 49ers, where the defense played really well against Seattle and they lost a close game. And then they lose a close game where it is just a shootout against the Rams. I don't know that we saw this coming after watching the second game of the year for San Francisco.
No, I would agree with you. I hadn't seen the Rams, so you know, I know they put up a bunch of points in game one against the Colts. So I was kind of looking forward to seeing the Rams and Goff play, and the Niners, like you said, a great defensive effort against Seattle, and then unfortunately give up 41 points and almost 300 yards to Jared Goff on Thursday night, but from a fan perspective, an entertaining game.
Definitely was. But I wonder about the short turnaround, if that affects defensive players more on some teams. I mean, it seemed like on this game it did. Navarro Bowman did have a quote out there saying that he think it had a huge effect on his body, and there's no way that he felt like he normally does on a Sunday.
Offense or defense, I don't know, but it definitely affects, I would say, everybody. I mean, you're still somewhat sore by, you know, on Thursday, so from yeah. Sunday before. So, that usually takes, a little bit to, shake it. But, defensively, yeah, maybe just from a preparation standpoint, I'm going to guess that both the Niners and the Rams offensively came into it with most likely not a new game plan, probably pretty similar to the Sunday before, just because there really isn't time to put one in. You know, maybe a few plays, but I bet pretty much the same from the Sunday before.
Well, one thing is that I don't think there are many NFL games that I've seen, Steve, that start out the way this one did. I mean, 12 seconds into the game, the Rams are up 7-0 because of the interception on the first play. And Hoyer, yeah, he recovered, and we'll talk about that. But that first play, I mean, he just threw it right to the cornerback, and boom, touchdown. Well, not touchdown, but down to the 3-yard line.
Yeah, I mean, it might as well have been because they scored on the next play. But, yeah, definitely not a good throw. You know, looking at it on replay, my thought was he was kind of in between, you know, like, oh, shoot, neither of them really open. I'll throw it in between them, and it was ugly. But he recovered extremely well, and I thought played pretty well. Definitely played well the rest of the game.
Yeah, I don't know how you recover from something like that mentally, but he did. I mean, I guess you got to give him a lot of credit.
A ton of credit, yeah, because I'm going to give the fans some credit too. Yeah, there was some booing right away, but I don't think that they were, you know, booing the next time he came out of the field and played really well. Threw some really nice balls.
Yeah, I think one of the main reasons why the 49ers were in this game is that he was able to throw the ball down the field, especially to his now favorite receiver, Pierre Garçon. And that, you know, that's why they signed him. That's why they signed him. But he had seven catches, 142 yards. He had that 59-yarder. He has really good hands. He can run after the catch. I mean, he looks like he's really going to help the Niners this year.
He sure does. And he's a little more physical guy than some of the other receivers. Again, you know, going back to something we've talked a lot about is of the smaller statured guys not being able to get off the bump and run. I thought Pierre did a really nice job, and they were definitely on the same page, he and Hoyer, on Thursday night.
Again, a drop did plague this team. And, you know, it's the little things that lose a game, you know, missing the extra point, that was tough. But also George Kittle dropped that one ball where they were getting close to a first down, and it looked like, you know, they would maybe be able to score a touchdown on that one drive there in the second quarter, and he dropped one right in his hands. You could tell Hoyer wasn't happy. He kind of yelled at him, like, come on, George, catch the ball. I mean, they've had a few of those this year.
Yeah, and that's the difference between, unfortunately, between the winning and losing. It's just a few plays where they're not making when they need to. And, you could look at that the same as the two-point conversion at the end of the game. I mean, you got to give the credit to the corner or who that defensive back. I don't remember who it was, but, you know, totally sniffed out what they were doing. Waited for, his name Thompson, is that his name? 81.
It was Trent Taylor.
Trent Taylor, yeah. To come back in, you know, on that little bit of that kind of smash route, you know, where he runs the, you know, kind of runs the drag and then turns back and comes back inside.
Doesn't he have to make an adjustment there? I was wondering about that, Steve, because yeah, there's that route, but when the guy cuts in front, can't you cut to the outside? You know, make the adjustment.
Yeah, you know, kind of Hoyer kind of threw it right when he kind of threw it to his outside hand away from the defensive back. But, I would think you either have to sit outside or keep coming and try and run through that defensive back. But I watching it live, my thought was they sniffed that one out. They knew that one was well game planned by them on defense.
And then, you know, Taylor's involved in that play near the end of the game in the final drive trying to rally there. And on television, it looked like no way is that a penalty, an offensive penalty. But I don't know, maybe, you know, different angle. There weren't that many angles of it to say that he pushed off, and that would have been a first down.
Yeah, that's, I can't say that I saw it happen live when the flag came out. And I'm looking at the space between the two. My first thought was offensive pass interference.
That he created that much space, yeah.
Yeah, having talked to people that saw it on television, said no, he never even pushed off. So that's really unfortunate that happened. I mean, obviously a judgment call, and probably could be called on every pass play. But, that kid runs some good routes. And
he does.
I'm going to say that, if I went and watched it, I probably would agree with everybody that he didn't push off because he's gotten some good separation from guys.
Yeah, I think he's going to see a lot more balls.
I've seen in a few games.
A lot more balls thrown his way, right?
Yeah. I agree.
How about the mix? Because we talked about that at length the last couple of weeks. You know, they really weren't running the ball, wasn't setting up the play action. Seems like that was happening. I mean, they did set up some play action. You know, Hyde still had his 84 yards rushing. Did you feel better about the way they were calling plays in that regard?
No question. I think it was much closer. Runs and passes. Let me see. I'm looking right here. 33 runs, 37 passes. So much better balance. And they still ran the ball pretty well. It just became more of a I guess, more of an aerial show, you know, especially at the end for the Niners because they're trying to catch up. And the Rams offense for, you know, three quarters for sure, but, you know, a little more than that, they were going up and down the field, really throwing the ball pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, Goff looked good, right? I mean,
he had
a couple of 100-yard receivers, and he also had Gurley running for 113. But yeah, he looks like he's really improved as far as just his ability to throw the ball down the field, his confidence, and his body. I mean, doesn't he look bigger to you?
Yeah. He does. He looked good. I thought what they did a nice job of is moving him around, getting him out of the pocket, and threw the ball. I thought he threw the ball well on the run. That one on their last score where he was rolling to his left, threw back inside, and when he threw it, I was like, oh, good pick. And then next thing you know, guys running for a touchdown. But, I thought he threw the ball well. I was impressed.
It is strange that the 49ers defense would have this much trouble after what they did against Seattle. I mean, I know the Rams offense is more high-powered. But, you know, Eric Reed was out. I don't know if that one player makes that much of a difference. But, you know, a lot of people, people are talking about Navarro Bowman being a step slow, maybe because of the Thursday game. I mean, are those critical points there?
Yeah. I think, like I said in the beginning, that, you know, probably everybody's a step slow. And the Niners defense probably a little bit slower than everybody else because they played – What did we say? Almost 80 plays? No. Yeah, 79 plays on Sunday.
Yeah. That's a lot of plays to be out there.
So,
yeah, they're tired.
They're probably a half a step slower than everybody else because they're truly tired and beat up from a tough game the Sunday before.
So a wild one, and they end up losing. But do you feel like though this is a step forward? I mean, even the last 2 weeks, maybe a step forward because you know they played close, and they showed you know both sides of their game can be something. Like the offense showed something here, defense showed something the week before that. Maybe the first 2 weeks. So maybe if they put it all together, there is something there that they can work with.
No question. There's no question. There's something there. I mean, They're competitive. They've been in every game. They made it exciting at the end. I mean, you get a strip fumble on a kickoff return, then you get an onside kick, and the last 6 minutes of the game were great. Unfortunately, they couldn't quite finish it, but I know there's definitely something there. I mean, they're playing hard. They're playing competitively, and you know, the wins will come. They'll figure out how to win, and it's making those, you know, two or three plays that we've already talked about earlier that if they make, then they win.
And you look around the division, really. I mean, nobody's great. They're going to play at Arizona this next game. They have three straight road games coming up here. But Arizona, I mean, you know, the Rams, they were right there with the Rams. Seattle wasn't so great. I mean, I don't think any of these teams in the NFC West are that great.
No, I would agree. I mean, they'll probably all be, you know, bunched up at the end of the year at, 10-6, 11-5, 9-7, somewhere in there. So, you know, hopefully at that point, the Niners are right there in the mix as well.
The Niners, this is a tough stretch here because they got three straight road games, and they got a lot of traveling. I was reading about how Matt Barrows put out a tweet about how the road trip is going to have 9,920 miles, and he compared that to the Steelers the entire season, 6,600 miles, something like that.
Wow.
So, yeah, I mean, how does that affect you? Because, you know, when you played for the 49ers, what did you guys do to combat that a little bit?
Well, we, you know, first of all, going back east or even to Central Time Zone, you know, going Friday afternoon really helps. You get there late at night. We would practice here on a Friday, leave, say, 4 o'clock. Get to Central Time or Eastern Time Zone late, you know, your body time, you wouldn't go to bed until 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning in that time zone, but then be able to sleep in, have some meetings, have a light kind of walkthrough, run around. It was more than a walkthrough, practice, but get a good sweat, and then kind of have the, you know, the rest of the day off and meetings at night and get up and play on Sunday. And I always thought it worked pretty well having played on teams in the Eastern time zone or the Central time zone in the beginning of my career, and then coming here and traveling 2 days before. I almost thought we had an advantage traveling, more of an advantage than teams in the East coming West. Even though a lot of those teams do now come 2 days before even coming West.
So, yeah, everybody's made the adjustment, I guess.
Yeah. I'm thinking back, as you're saying, 9,000 miles. Well, I think my first year here in 89, and the Giants were in the playoffs, so zero Giants in the 80s playing in the World Series. The first five games of the season, we went on the road.
Wow.
And we went to Indy, Atlanta, New Orleans, Philly, and I don't remember the fifth one, but five. I mean, we had to have traveled easily 15,000 miles, or more. I guess, you know, probably 15,000 miles in one direction. But it can be done. You need to get your rest and take care of yourself it's been done. And like I said, I think the West Coast teams have a little bit of an advantage over the East Coast teams, when traveling 2 days before, let's put it that way.
Right. And the 49ers have at Indy and at Washington, coming up after at Arizona, later on at Philly, at Chicago, at Houston, some places they definitely have to fly far.
Right, and actually playing an Eastern time zone game at 1 o'clock is a little bit easier than playing the Central time zone game at noon, because just that hour to me seemed to make a big difference.
I agree with you. I agree with you just from my standpoint, being a stats guy, because I was just in Chicago, and the game was at noon, and it's just that, you know, coming from here, going there, it's that extra hour. It kind of makes a difference.
Yeah.
Maybe it's mental.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe it is, but I don't know. A noon game, you know, you're up at 7 a.m., you know, which is really 5 a.m., you know, body time. I don't know. It just always seemed harder to me.
We'll have more with former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono right after this. There's more to tell you about as far as my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. 49ers fans from outside the Bay Area, listen up. TPC Harding Park has a great deal for you when you are planning your trip to Levi's Stadium to see the 49ers. While you're in town, take advantage of Golf the Gridiron, featuring discounted tee times and free club rentals. Visit TPC.com and click on Special Offers for tee time deals at San Francisco's own TPC Harding Park. Speaking of the game that I covered in Chicago, that game kind of highlighted the entire week three in the NFL, because it was really all about the protests, the anthem protests. And game that I covered, the Steelers didn't come out for the national anthem. That was a decision they made as a team, Mike Tomlin and his team.
Yeah.
So what did you think of the whole situation? I mean, do you see this continuing? It certainly was a big media story to follow up on what Colin Kaepernick did last year.
Yeah, it's a huge media story. I was homesick yesterday, laying on the couch, and, you know, turned on the TV, like, what's on during the middle of the day? And it was, every channel I turned to was, whether it was a sports channel or TMZ, was about the anthem protest.
Yeah.
It seems to have come to be just about, okay, what are people going to do now during the national anthem?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, okay, what, you know, really, what, okay, why are we doing this? You know, why are we taking a knee? I like the fact that teams at least seem to have talked about it. Okay, and decide, okay, what are we going to do as a team? Now, I don't necessarily like that they're kneeling down. That's their prerogative, but I do like that the teams at least seem to have talked about it and said and agreed, okay, this is what we're going to do as a team, you know. I would rather see everybody, I would prefer that everybody stood for the national anthem and that they all stood there with arms locked. That's great. That's showing solidarity to me. It's a tough one. It seems to me now to just be something to do to make a statement, but what are we making a statement about?
It is very confusing, isn't it? I mean, you got, you know, they're kneeling for the anthem, yet really what they're all upset about, I thought on Sunday, was the president. I mean, you know, they're kind of kneeling against him and his comments. So it almost has to be explained.
No,
it's really not explained, you know. It's just everybody's just trying to stand together. But I do think it's a little bit hypocritical for the owners that are, you know, they're trying to unify with the players there, but they weren't even looking at Colin Kaepernick to sign him where he could have been a backup somewhere. And now you're saying, oh, yeah, well, we're unified with these players. I don't know where he comes into play in all this either, you know.
I don't think Colin wanted to play last year. And I don't think he wants to play now. Has anybody ever heard him come out and say that he wants to play? That he's actively, you know, trying to pursue a position somewhere?
He hasn't said anything. I don't know. No public comments.
Personally, I don't think he wants to play. And that's fine. If you have another passion in life and you know, working toward social justice and all that, that's great. I mean, go for it. I can't say it doesn't have anything to do with what he did, but somebody came out earlier, might have been Deshaun, but no, the running back in Buffalo. LeSean McCoy.
LeSean McCoy, yeah.
You know, and he said it. I mean, and I agreed with him when I was reading it. That is, hey, if he was going to come in somewhere and win games for somebody, they would put up with the publicity, positively or negatively, about his stance toward, you know, the national anthem and social justice and all that. But if he's just going to be, you know, a backup or a third string guy on your team, it's not worth the publicity one way or the other.
Yeah, I can understand. You know, I was wondering that, to me, this would be the week. This is the week where somebody would, if they were going to sign Kaepernick, it would be this week, and they'd say, you know what, because it's not a distraction. Everybody else is doing it. And if they don't sign him this week, then it's forget it. I don't think they're going to look at him.
Yeah. I always get the impression that he doesn't want to play. I mean, I got that impression last year.
And if that's the case, the 49ers are much better off that they made the change they did. It kind of started over. It hit the reset button.
Oh, they had to. They had to. Yeah, no question.
Where do you see this thing going? Do you think they're still going to be kneeling for weeks to come? Or what do you
think?
Probably
will be. like I said, I probably continues, but it's not going to. The coverage of it, I think, fades, and you know, again, why are we doing this? You know, if that's what they chose as a team, and every guy's doing it, I'm not thrilled about it. That's for sure. But I like the idea that they, you know, concluded to do it as a team. But you know, if half the guys are standing, half the guys are kneeling, half the guys are sitting on the bench, you know, or a third, you're not going to win a whole lot of ball games. You know, because now you're not a team.
Well, we'll see how the 49ers handle it, because all this happened after their game, right? I mean, game was Thursday,
exactly,
so we don't know what they're going to do.
Yeah. you know, and it'd be interesting to see, you know, if they all kneel, then I would say that we know Ed Reed is the leader, you know, or what, I mean, because he was kneeling with Colin last year.
Right.
If they all stand, then, you know, somebody else is leading them. And, you know, we'll see. I mean, personally, I hope they're all standing. I hope they all have their arms locked together. That'd be great. Last year, in hindsight, I didn't think that Colin was the leader, but in hindsight, he probably was. But he wasn't. He was leading them in the wrong direction, in my opinion. You know, I mean, he like I said, he had a reason for doing it, and a message against social injustice, and that's great. But the leadership was going the wrong way on the field.
Yeah,
know, and during games to go 2-14.
Awful season. Well, hopefully, if the 49ers win this game in Arizona, whatever they do, they should just do it the rest of the season. That's kind of the baseball mentality, you know?
Yeah, you know, well, yeah.
Superstitious.
No question. If they went to Arizona and you know, all laid down and they won, they would do it again, I guarantee you that.
Yeah, that's sports. I mean, that's sports superstition.
Right. Yeah, that's superstition, period, yeah.
All right, yeah. Steve. Well, hey, thanks a lot for the time today. Hope you feel better. I know you're getting over a little cold there. Hope you feel better, and we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Thanks, Joe.
That's former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono. Join us again next Tuesday. We will discuss the 49ers game in Arizona against the Cardinals. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to 49ers Extra on thesportsvirus.com.